what would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might wanna stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
The night when he comes up here is either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Am I gonna kill or am I gonna suck? Let's find out, shall we? St. John Forward Radio, I'm John Forward. I'm here after a week off. Snowed in last week. We had a repeat on, I assume. Probably could have tuned in for 2 minutes to see what episode it was, so I know what kind of context we're coming into here, but my apologies for that, and hopefully I haven't lost all three listeners. Who were confused by the lack of a live episode last week, but big snow dump last Monday. The whole university was shut down, and my street is low priority, so I don't even know what time the plow came, but I probably couldn't get out of my driveway. But took a week off, energized, we're back in the studio, and raring to go, just coming off a good comedy weekend. Started out on Friday, did a show with Brittany Campbell, the Reverend Brian Giles, and headliner Mark Splute at the Grassroots Bar and Grill, which is in the Westfield Comedy Club, which is a weird place to do comedy. It was a decent show. They aren't really set up for it. They've done a couple of shows there. The stage was in the middle and facing, which is not ideal for a comedy show, but it was facing the part of the room where there is one table and then the bar, and everybody else was kind of on both sides, so not ideal. You have to get used to just kind of like at a U2 concert, you don't want to have your back to people, so you had to kind of go back and forth, and they had all the lights in the room turned off once the show started, but the stage light was literally a therapeutic heat lamp, and from the box art, looks like it was from the 70s, and this was clipped to the bottom of the front of the stage, so even when it was on, everybody with glasses had weird, like, cat eyes, like in, like Michelle Pfeiffer in Batman Forever. And I got to do a Nosferatu impression. I got my hand up and I did the shadow on the wall. I couldn't see it, but I assume it was transcendent. But that light that was on the front of the stage also had like a 3-foot cord that ran right down the middle of the stage, which I tripped over 1 minute in. We've got some guests next door in the room. So I tripped over that, and I thought, hey, I know how electricity works. I'll just plug it back in, and everything will be fine. But no, it was finicky. I plugged it back in. It did not turn on. You kind of wiggled the cord, and it turned on, but then it would, like, strobe every time that you moved. I tried to get people to turn on their cell phone flashlights to light up the stage. Only like 3 people jumped on that. I was hoping for more, but eventually they did just turn on some of the house lights so that they could see me, but I was a little shook. Everybody said I did well, but in my head I'm just like, well, I could have done 20% weller if I wasn't thrown off by the lighting situation, which continued into Brian Giles' set. We made the most of it. I managed to get it fixed for Mark Splude, so he didn't have to fuss is the word I'm going to say, fuss with the light, and but it was a good show, good audience, and good times. Went out with the comedians afterwards, went to the barcade, got a picture with E.T., it was a good time, and then No Jokes Barred at the R Bar on Saturday was a great show. It was just a fun time, great turnout. I was happy with most of my sets. I did a little bit of a t-shirt commercial that was weird, but whatever. I'm going to get a free t-shirt out of it on a website. I don't need to get into that. It doesn't need to be good. It will be better than the other videos that they sent as an example for... I'm not even going to bother explaining this because it's boring. What else? Right before No Jokes Barred, I joined previous St. John Forward guest Matt Copeland to film a little scene for his new web series called Hard Times in the Maritimes. I play... his former landlord, Dick Johnson. I was, he sent me the script. I wasn't entirely on board with the tone of my character, but he's good. There's comedians in the show, Steve Fudge, Mark Splude, the Hovland guys are doing it. And he's not married to the words on the page, so I found my own interpretation of it, and you can see that on YouTube. I probably should have remembered the name of the episode. It's called Hard Times in the Maritimes. I think it's called... I don't even remember. I think it's Prelude number 4. It might have the word landlord in it. I don't remember. I should probably learn these things. When I'm done rambling about myself, Matt Copeland can call in later and explain it better than I did. But that was fun. Turned out well. It's kind of like a prequel to set up the characters before the real episodes start, and they were shooting those. Then on Sunday was my Boardwalk Bomb, an old tape of a set that I did on the St. John Boardwalk in 2002, 20 years old. Two or three open mic sets in, thought, yeah, I can do an hour. And as we found out on Sunday, I could not. It was painful to watch, but we live streamed it with Mark Splude, Narif Hussein. Lots of bad technical difficulties. We had about 20 minutes that worked pretty good. Another 20 minutes of mostly just audio with barely any movement on the picture. And then the last 20 minutes was just lost completely to time, so I don't know what's going to become of that. I'm going to try to do some editing magic and maybe put something out there that's watchable. So if you gave up on the live stream, I'll at least put out the part that worked, but I'm hoping that I can find a way to make up for the part that ends. But it was kind of a once in a lifetime moment. Arif and Mark were watching it for the first time. You can't just fake it and do it again, so who knows. But back on to non-comedy life. Have a bit of a therapy update. I had two appointments today. As I think I mentioned 2 weeks ago, I've been having a rough go at work. I've got a bit about having an anxiety attack like 4 months ago, but things have just been piling on and piling on and piling on. They want to change me from Monday to Friday back to shift work. That was announced before Christmas, but I applied for some other internal stuff, but that has been has not worked out. The most notable nonsense that's happened is... the day that I found out that my boss found out that I applied for another job, I mysteriously was written up for looking at the internet that afternoon, which was another manager had scolded me in front of my coworkers like 2 or 3 weeks before that, and I had already explained that I don't take a break and I don't see what the problem is with looking for the internet for 2 minutes when I'm on a lull. She disagreed, though, and I got written up for it. They sat me down for a meeting. They slapped the IT policy down in front of me. Paragraph 1 says, employees are allowed to use intermittent personal use of the internet. And I'm like, okay, does booking an Airbnb for 2 minutes count as intermittent use? Yep. Okay, does being 3 text messages away from being caught up on my work count as slacking off? Nope. Okay. Am I entitled to breaks? Yeah, 15 in the morning, 15 in the afternoon. Okay, does that need to be all at once, or can it be spread out? Whatever. Okay, so what exactly am I doing here right now being written up for not breaking any of those rules? Oh, well, you've been spoken to before. Which I tried to explain that I should not have been. That didn't go well, and I was being written up by the same HR guy that I had a job interview with for another thing that I wanted, which was not helpful. Maybe contributed to me not getting that, but who can tell? Tried to reach out to the head of HR, who was even more useless and was literally putting on her coat as I was explaining my plight, because she was on her way out the door. I typed up a really long, very thoughtful, very wordy, but clear and good email that I sat on for a full week. It went through revisions. I showed it to other people to make sure that I don't sound like a psychopath. My coworkers agreed that is a very fine letter, and they were very impressed with me. I sent it off and just got, like, the stock. Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff. I can certainly see how that would be stressful. Here's the link to the internal company wellness website page. If you want to talk about the IT policy any further, you let me know. And so that was a big F you, but yeah, so that sucks. But this morning I went to see my doctor and I got a prescription for 3 weeks off work. And that might be just a Band-Aid solution, but it gives me time to get my head straight and maybe hit the job hunt. We'll see what happens. And then I went to see my therapist this afternoon, kind of gave her the update of what's going on, said feeling a little bit better, that I was hoping for more time off to give me more time to find a plan B, but I'll take what I can get. She asked me how I felt about being assertive and sending my email, and I said, well, it didn't really accomplish anything, but I'm happy that I did the right thing and I stood up for myself. So I don't know, maybe it will make it that much more unlikely to get messed with in the future. Maybe it will make it even worse for myself, but I know I did the right thing. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I do know how this show is going to turn out. I'm going to be joined momentarily by my guest, Sam Laidman, new comedian on the St. John scene. How you doing, Sam?
Doing pretty good. What's going on?
Oh, not much. Just saying hello to my guest, and then I'm going to go back to ignoring you.
Excellent.
And we're going to play a song. So, as I was saying, don't know what's going to happen work-wise. I've got a stay of execution for now. We'll find out. And that's the name of this next song by Timber Tambor on St. John Forward Radio.
Do your actions mention your heart's intentions? We'll find out. We'll find out. Is your mind mistaken? Is your conscience not at ease? We'll find out. We'll find out. Do you strive to deny each kindred spirit in the room? We'll find out. We'll find out. And is your highest pleasure now the misfortune of fools? We'll find out. We'll find out. You hide nothing, just believe it. We all see it.
Moving through the trees, yeah.
it's coming down upon me. You had nothing, just believe it. We all see it.
And we're back on St. John Forward Radio. I'm John Forward. I'm here with Sam Laidman again. Like I said, new comedian on the scene. How's that going for you? What's the take of... How many shows do you got under your belt?
I think Saturday was number 7, so okay. We're going on to 8 here.
Would you call it lucky number 7?
Yeah, was that was pretty lucky.
It was pretty good.
I didn't forget anything, so that's lucky.
Yeah.
I also had a piece of paper in front of my face for the whole thing. So well, that helps.
Our bars for practicing. The paper, like we talked about this on the way over. The paper is not ideal, but having the paper and remembering your jokes is better than not having the paper and forgetting your jokes.
Better than looking like a fucking idiot. Not supposed to do that, right?
we're talking about seals in
this
French.
Is not, yeah, good
and,
job. Nice cover.
Yeah.
This is not a podcast. This is a live radio show, in case you were wondering.
It is. Well, it depends how you're listening to it. If you're listening to it on johnforward.com or in your podcast player of choice, it is a podcast.
What a plug. This is why you're number 2.
That's right. Speaking of which, I always forget, but throughout the show, we'll be... Try not to interrupt us if we're on a roll and saying some really interesting stuff, but we can take calls. 506 is the area code. 648-5925 if anybody wants to chime in. So 7 shows under your belt. I think 3 of those were probably at the R Bar. What else have you done?
I did 3 at the R Bar, 2 at the Fredericton United
Wilser's
Comedy
Room.
Collective night at the Wilser's Room.
Yes, the acronym spells fuck. We can say it in that context if we're quoting something.
Yeah, it's F-U-C-C. It's fuck with a C.
Yeah, F-U-C-C. That's the Wilser's Room was kind of my template. Like, that's the first comedy show that I did where people came to see a comedy show on purpose.
It's nice. It's a nice touch.
The R Bar has... Well, it's got its own flavor because it's in a karaoke bar in St. John. But as far as the format of the show, it's similar. It's what is called an open mic show, even though a true open mic doesn't really exist where you just show up and sign up.
We should get one, though. This thing's growing. I think we could get to that point, maybe.
Sploot is talking about getting one going at the pub down under. That might be weekly. I don't know if the plan.
Again,
I don't know if the plan was just to show up and I'm screwing my headphones up. I don't know if I'm even supposed to be talking about it, but that's in the cards. I've heard of another possible weekly amateur night at a place that I don't need to plug because they've got lots of money to advertise themselves.
Does it start with a Y?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that might happen, but I've heard different things from different people at different times, so who knows, but maybe that will happen. If it does, I'll participate if that's an option. I don't know if it's going to be a show up and sign up thing or not, though, but...
Yeah, I had second thoughts on that. At first it seemed like a good idea, but then I realized I don't like getting up early and going to places early and lingering around, and if there was a sign up sheet, I'd probably have to do that. I like that. I can like give you a message a month in advance and say I'm coming.
Yeah,
so forget what I just said. Don't do that.
Well, I can see the need for it, because it makes it easier to get in, I guess, if you're just a brand new person and you don't know anything other than to just show up. There's not a huge barrier to entry at the R Bar. I kind of have an unofficial rule that anybody that lives in St. John should probably watch one before they do one. Part of that is just so people get a vibe of what to expect when they get there. And part of it, to be honest, is if somebody is... like, there's a lot of new people that come on the scene that have kind of made vague, like, oh, I want to do that sometime. Can I go up tonight? And I'm like, no, you should watch one first. If that's enough to deter somebody that they can't even be bothered to watch one show once ever, then I'm not terribly interested.
We're the Netflix generation, man. I had never seen a comedy show anywhere aside from yeah. from TV, Netflix, before I came to that show. Because I wanted to get started.
Well, there's not a lot of options. But yeah, if you're willing to put that in, like I find comedy fans make better comedians than attention fans. Which we all like the attention too. I'm not going to pretend otherwise. But I don't know. I have more of an affinity for people that are fans of comedy in general.
You elitist.
I like watching. I go to see every show in town that I can, whether I'm on it or not. I saw Jeff Dunham
once at Harbor Station.
How was that?
No, I didn't really fuck. Why would I do that?
Stop saying that word.
It was. I was pitching to Fred Tin.
This isn't a show about French seals, Sam. We're talking comedy.
This is really hard for me.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I really liked that Jeff Dunham bit on Just for Laughs, like the Honest Dick, like that one, but...
I don't even know what that is.
It doesn't matter.
This was all a ruse.
It's like at least 20 years old, but I run a show called No Jokes Barred, so obviously I'm not like the type of person to get super offended by something, but I was working somewhere once and on a lunch break... Somebody was listening to Jeff Dunham with Ahmed the Dead Terrorist, and I genuinely was like, that is straight up racist, and I was a little offended. But if Jeff Dunham wanted to do No Jokes Barred, I would not say no. It doesn't matter if I don't want to be a gatekeeper. I'll be the lion tamer.
So what you're saying is anti-Muslim jokes are kosher at No Jokes Barred.
Well, I would prefer not, but who am I to say that there isn't a way to... Arif makes anti-Muslim jokes.
Well, he's allowed.
He's a former Muslim, so I guess it's okay, but...
former? I didn't know that.
Well, he grew up in Dubai. I don't know how long that lasted, I don't know if he was ever super serious about it, but he definitely grew up in that
Everybody
culture.
Everybody gets the idea that they're all super serious about it. They're not.
Oh, we've got a call. We've got a call. I guess we can... how does this work again? This one... Hello? Oh, wait. Can't hear anything. I'll try again. Hello? Wait, maybe...
Is this your first phone call?
Maybe let's try again. Speak. Try now.
Hello.
Oh, there we go. That's very loud. I think we got you now.
Hey.
Who's this?
Hello. Phil Smith calling in.
Oh, man. We've only got 45 minutes left in the show, Phil.
Phil Smith. I thought it was Will Smith.
Hey, can you guys be fine for swearing on air like that?
John can, I can't.
Let's just not draw attention to it. I don't know what you're talking about, Phil. I think I've heard...
Would you suck, John, if you lost your job and the radio show all in 1 week?
That would be some good material, though, John.
I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard somebody say that it's okay for the guests, but not the host. I would still prefer to just not have anybody doing it, if at all possible.
I'm going
to
respect that.
Just to avoid, but slip-ups can happen.
Yeah, work clean. Always work clean when you can.
Yeah. Well,
Why do you say that?
Well, number one, corporate gigs. Number two, corporate gigs. Okay.
Well, corporate gigs is every comic's dream.
There's only one corporation here, and I work for them, so why bother?
Me too.
Fuck.
No. No. All right. I was actually going to talk about that. I've noticed on Facebook a lot that people are talking about the clean comedy and not relying on that old crutch of shock humor. What is your take on that, Phil and Sam?
You go first.
Well, it's like Louis Anderson always said, I can eat 4 pieces of house buttered in a minute. You know, I think it's really better not to swear if you can. You always see the new, you know, it's your 8th show. Hey, congrats. Okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, you always see the newer guys on the comedy scene. Just, it's F this, F that, F, F, F. You know,
I'm angsty. F, like, I'm a young man. Come on.
Hey. Well, I'm 35.
I can see that, but there's... That's not a... The problem with that is not that it's dirty. It's that it's lazy, I guess. Because, but there is a place for it. Like, a lot of my bits, I could probably take out the swear words, but I don't think that it counts as a clean bit if I say that fellatio was performed on me by a pile of disembodied guts. There's no swears in that.
Yeah, I was going to say, a bunch of intestines blowing you. We all know that story.
I don't think I could break that one out at the office Christmas party, even if I take the swears out. And it is kind of, like, I get you don't want to say F in this and F in that just kind of as for no reason, but... I'm not going to say that I never do that, but I don't think I have a lot of unnecessary swears in my bit, but very few of them.
No, John, you're great. I think you're
Oh, so this is all an attack on me then.
Yeah, wit.
Okay.
No,
that's what it sounds like.
And it's not just new people.
Just in general.
Well, even our hero, James Mullinger, when he's working on new material, he swears a lot more than he does
he
normally.
My messages.
Because, you know...
What the hell's up with Sussex? I'm James Mullinger.
When you're working out new stuff, it is easy to kind of throw in an extra F-bomb to get a little bit more of a punch to it, but that's not really a long-term thing, but... I don't know. I just the kind of like taking out unnecessary swear words is one thing, but I don't like this idea of if you're going to be a comedian, you should tell jokes about what makes you laugh and not try to shoehorn yourself into what you think everyone can enjoy. I don't want everyone to enjoy John Forward.
John, I hear you totally. I hear, do what you want, say what you want, and you're going to hear a whole bunch of F-bombs and S-bombs. And D jokes at Wilser's March 2nd, Fredericton Thursday, upstairs at the Capitol.
Yeah.
Who's coming? Our three viewers, let us know in the comments if you're coming.
Yeah. And if that's how you talk normally, then that should translate into your stand-up. I don't have any problem stopping myself from swearing on this show for the most part, because, like, when I swear, it's on purpose.
It's totally involuntary with me.
Yeah, and so that should be in your comedy. If that's how you talk, it should come out natural. And if you try to kind of turn yourself into something you're not, it's going to sound weird. And there's nothing wrong with, like, I've got a handful of my bits that aren't overtly sexual that I could clean up if I needed to. But...
They're not overtly, but slightly.
Yeah.
Still a hint.
There's a few of them that don't specifically mention my penis, but...
But you're still supposed to picture his penis when he tells it?
Yeah, always. But, I don't know. It's good to have a clean set in your back pocket just in case you get offered a show, but to kind of strive for that. Like, I've got some bits that I look at that are almost clean... And there's nothing wrong with doing a little fine tuning just so you have that option, but to sit down and, like, I'm going to write a clean set just seems very alien to me. What do you think, Sam? It's been mostly
John.
I always say.
All right, Phil. let's pause, Phil. Let's hear Sam's take. We're kind of barreling
over. The only thing I really had to say was that I agree with you in that if it's your voice, you should use it. You shouldn't change your own voice. Most of my jokes are going to be dirty just because that's the way I talk. But there is a certain amount of you get nervous on stage. You start to, instead of saying, you just cuss because it's a little bit cooler than saying,
Yeah.
But so I'm going to try and cut that out, but I'm definitely not going to write clean. That just wouldn't be fun.
Yeah. I think if it's organic, like, and there are good, like, Jerry Seinfeld, he's clean, I enjoy his stuff, Jim Gaffigan's good, and Brian Regan, but I don't think they're sitting down and, like, throwing away their filthy jokes and be like, no, I need to write this Costco bit.
Yeah, it just seems like that's what comes natural to them.
So what were you going to say, Phil, before we rudely interrupted you?
Yeah, enjoy your interview.
Done. Well, again, March 2nd, Thursday, Wilder's Room. Everybody come out. Comedy
It's another.
That's
poem.
Like what we say, John. Keep it clean.
I'm going to be there. I'm coming. Hey. I'm Mandy Lynn Donovan and Arif Hussein are coming with me.
This show is all plugs.
My favorite Canadian, Arif. Congratulations to Arif Hussein, new Canadian citizen.
Yep. Congratulations. Arif. He's already got his Canadian flag tattoo scheduled.
wonderful.
Right on his ankle, probably. we're at the 9:30 mark, Phil, so I got to play a station ID. So I think we're going to end this segment, and I'll be...
Wonderful.
I'm going to play a request for Mr. Sam. You want to tell us about this?
Russia! I don't know Russia! I don't know Russia!
You don't know Russia.
Good night.
You got to learn.
That was Phil Smith's story about Donald Trump. It's always good when you have to explain who the impression is.
Yeah.
No, all right. I'll see you in a couple weeks, Phil. All right. That was Phil Smith, Fredericton's finest. Actually, before we move on, when I first went to the Wilser's Room, that was my first real comedy show. I was the new comedian, and I meekly went up to the comics table and was like, hey, I guess comedians, I'm a comedian. And they all blew me off and ignored me. But Phil Smith took me under his wing, and he was very kind to me, and he took me for a night out on the town after the show. It was a fun time, and I'll always appreciate him for that. But what's your... tell us about your song.
It's the band 68. They're a really good post-hardcore band from South Carolina, which is obviously a mecca for alternative music, as we all know. It's just got this really nice heaviness, but it's also a little more mature than a lot of hardcore music.
Yeah, I gave it a skim, and I think I'm going to enjoy it. I'm a fan of this kind of a music, but I'm not really like deep into it. I don't know a lot about it. Like the only hardcore bands I like. Like Sick of It All, I'm into.
I like Sick of It All.
Black Flag, are they? Does that count as a hardcore? Yeah, I really like Black Flag, and that's about it. I've heard other stuff, but like Blood Brothers, are they hardcore? And yeah,
there's some kind of hardcore. They're messed up though. That makes sense that you like them.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, we're gonna hear 68 In Humor and Sadness on St. John Forward Radio, and we'll be back with more Sam Liedman. Actually, let's play the station ID first, and then we'll play the song.
Local 107.3 FM is CFMH FM in St. John, New Brunswick. localfm.ca.
Got nothing, but I just know.
extra symbol just for emphasis. We're back on St. John Forward Radio. John Forward's here. Sam Liedman's my guest.
Aloha.
You asked me a question before the show started. You want to? You remember what that was? You want to get back into it?
Yeah, I do. How do you jump from being a open micer to being an opener on ticketed shows?
Well, there's different ways, but I would say, well, the R Bar in St. John is the best. Well, it's really well the Something Funny shows in KV. I think they have an opening spot that they give for new people, so that's an option. If you're not friends with Mark Splood, you can certainly get on that show, no problem. But anyway. Matt Copeland is saying he doesn't know the number, so I'll remind everybody that it's 648-5925, but I'm busy explaining important things to Sam, so I'm not going
to
answer the
phone.
I'm not going to answer the phone right now. So No Jokes Barred, third Saturday of the month, as I said before, if you live in town, just show up, say hello, and I'll put you on the next one. It's as simple as that, but you want to go from there. So get good, like do as many shows as you possibly can. So you do some R Bar, do some Wilser's Room if you can make it up to Fredericton. What else did you do? You said you did the Bathurst.
I did Bathurst once.
I'll ask you about that. Well, we don't need to change sure. topics though. But do as many shows as you can, just. Like, I'm watching the shows. The next step in the John Forward empire is No Jokes Barred Deluxe at O'Leary's on the first Friday of the month. There isn't really any set rule for that. I'm just, like, at the R Bar, I'll put anybody up. I'm slightly pickier at O'Leary's. I don't need to be a fan of everybody that goes on that show, but once I've seen, it's a bit of a longer set, so it'll be 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I would like for that show. I sometimes take a chance with an unknown, and because it's always good for me. I say yes to things that I'm not quite ready for, and sometimes I fall on my face, as seen by the Boardwalk Bomb video and many other things since then. So sometimes I'll give a chance, but I just like to see consistency before I put somebody on that. Like ideally. And again, there's probably exceptions to this, but I would like to see somebody do at least two different, like completely different 10-minute sets at the R Bar that get consistent laughs throughout.
Well, I'm there.
And then you
let's
can
go.
You can kind of take the worst 5 minutes out of that and then get a good 15. As for you in particular, as discussed, No Jokes Barred Deluxe shouldn't be a reading from paper show. So you need to be able to. Your writing is really good, and I think for sure you'll get there. But I think at this point, and again, some people are doing new material every show. That is not necessary. You need to turn stuff over. At least for me personally, I try not to repeat stuff too often at this, especially at the same place, but it's supposed to, like, nothing's ever done. You need to keep doing it, and I guess for me, once I've done it enough that I don't need to worry about remembering the words, then I can just be more in the moment, and you're confident with it, and you're more focused on the physical, not that I'm like a super dynamic physical performer or anything, but I'd like to, like, and I'm not there yet. I'd like to get to a point, you may have noticed, I'm trying to do less just sitting on the stool. I try to mix it up. I go back and forth. Ideally, I'd like to get to a point where this part of the joke is the standing up part, and then I sit down, and then whatever.
Yeah, I've definitely been seeing more of that from you.
Yeah, and that's something I'm working on. So, but that kind of thing is something that's hard to work on if you're just focused on like which word comes after which word.
Yeah, exactly.
And making sure that you remember it. So,
well, see, I want to get more repetition under the belt.
Yeah,
honestly, I've just had a string of bad luck as far as that goes because I don't want to repeat at the same venue.
Yeah,
and really, I've only gone to 3 venues.
Yeah,
I missed a chance in Bathurst with the storm, and I missed a chance a few weeks ago at Laughternoons with being sick. Well, and that kind of put it.
If you've done three different sets at the R Bar, that's not like. I've had one person in the early goings of the R Bar that came and did the exact same 10-minute set, word for word, no variation, 3 months in a row. That's that's kind of a problem. That's kind of a drag for
the
audience.
Yeah, but I don't want it. I have so much that I want to work through that I want to take that chance to do the new stuff and then take the other chances, take the outside of the city to do the repetition.
And you're more of a joke guy than I am. Like with me, if I'm...
More about the jokes in the comedy.
If I've got a set, it's long. I've got to pick like a story that I'm going to do. But I think if I wish that I had more short stuff, so that way it would be easier to kind of mix in. You could do a set that's like start with something that you know you've done before and is solid, and kind of mix in the new stuff and kind of go back and forth in that way. So with me, if I'm doing new stuff, the whole set's got to be new. Yeah. But I think
it's just tough. I think everything I write is funny, so I really, really want to get the chance to hear the response, so I don't want to waste any of that time. It's not a waste of time, but it's just the way I look at it.
If you write it down, it's in there. Like I would maybe if you don't want to completely repeat a set.
Maybe do like
a half and half.
Maybe if more people gave me stage time.
Well, that's a possibility.
Check your Facebook. Right. I've reached out to him twice in the same way, so I really can't say he's dodging me.
Just don't tell him that you were on this show.
This show too? God damn it.
Well, I don't know. I'm blocked on Facebook.
Is GD, is that bad?
What?
God damn it. Can I say that? Is that radio friendly?
That's probably okay.
All right. What if I say Muhammad? Can't draw him on the radio.
I wonder if we can describe him. Does that count?
He has a red beard. He's balding in the front. Mm-hmm. He's wearing I believe it's a Godzilla shirt that says Gojira.
Yes.
And I think that's what he looks like.
I am the prophet. Another thing, aside from the paper, you're still very obviously nervous.
Oh yeah.
Which is a thing that comes with time. You're a little shaky.
Yeah.
But from there. Like, do O'Leary's. Sometimes people jump ahead O'Leary's and, like, reach out to Julie Thompson. She's the booker for Chuckles. Mm-hmm. Let's see who this is. Hello.
About time.
Well, I just said that I was explaining important things to Sam, and I wasn't even going to answer the phone. But this is Matt Copeland, right?
This is Matt Copeland.
Well, yes. You can jump in on this. I was just... telling Sam he wants to know about how to progress in his local comedy career and basically just do as many shows as you can. If you want to be on a Shane Ogden show, especially if you've got a video that's helpful, if you've got something on tape that you could send Julie Thompson on Facebook or send it to Shane and he can probably pass it along. Another option, I'll throw it out there, whatever, I'll mention it. I've been told that anybody that wants stage time at Yuck Yucks, they need to email Jessica, who is the booker in Toronto, basically the way that starts, which this is what I had to do in Halifax. I haven't made an effort yet for St. John because my work situation's in flux, but you send this lady an email the week of the show. If you want the email, I could probably give out the email address on the air. You know what? Let's not waste my time digging through my phone looking for that. If you want it, just let me know and I'll send it to you.
Oh, yeah.
But they generally get... you do a guest spot, which is like a 5-7 minute unpaid thing on one show. And that kind of gets your foot in the door. And if they like you, then they'll book you for a paid gig. And the middle spot at Yuck Yucks is like 20 to 25 minutes on the show. So you're a ways off for that probably. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just get as good as you can and get confident and just, it's helpful to have a tape. You could make appearances on web series like Matt Copeland's Hard Times in the Maritimes. What's the name of the episode, the prelude episode that I did this weekend? I tried to mention it earlier, but I forgot what it's called.
Bootleggers and
Imaginary Friends.
Yeah, that's it. Bootleggers and Imaginary Friends. Next week's guest, Brian Godso, is the imaginary friend on that episode.
Finished writing an actual episode. They're going to be 22 minutes long, like actual TV shows. But yeah. Brian Joseph Giles is going to play the Tuna Man.
Nice. When's the first full episode with Dick Johnson going to happen? What episode number?
You're in the pilot. Well, there's 6 episodes for season 1, and I think you're going to be in 4 of them.
Okay, sounds good.
So it's a reoccurring character it's going to be good. And like you said earlier, I'm not married to the words, so you can write your lines.
Yeah. Well, that's always good. It's always better to, let's not necessarily improvise, but at least take the spirit of it, and you'd rather the actor, because we're not trained actors, obviously.
Well, your comedian success is a team effort.
Yeah, right? And it's going to sound more natural if I say it the way that I want to say it instead of trying to kind of force the words on the page. And, you know, get into the character motivations. When he first told me about it, I started to kind of get an idea of who this guy was, and that didn't exactly match up with what was on the page when he sent it to me, but I fine-tuned it a bit.
I knew you could do it.
Oh, thank you for believing in me. You got a character for Sam Liedman here?
I was thinking of something for everyone that I know. It's, probably everybody that did No Jokes Barred will eventually be on it.
Nice.
Yeah, so Sam, if you have any ideas, watch the Preludes.
Yeah, you got to play to my strengths here. I gotta think about what we're going to do here.
Yeah, if you beat him to the punch, think of a character, save him the effort of thinking something.
Pitch it to me. Yeah. Pitch it to me.
You got it.
So you can reach out to Matt Copeland on Facebook? Or, I don't know, is there another way that people want to reach you?
There's an actual page, Hard Times in the Maritimes, on Facebook.
Also, yes.
Yeah,
so we've... was there anything else you wanted to plug? Another option for new comedians to level up, Matt Copeland started running his own show. That's what I did. I started running the No Jokes Barred show, and if you're not
Sunday
getting...
Sunday Train Wrecks. Oh, no, wait. What was it? Afternoon. Yeah.
That's definitely a way to get stage time. Book yourself. If you find a bar where if you want to start doing your own show. Yeah?
Yeah, I was on one.
Yeah. So, that's what I did. I did not have enough material to be a host of a comedy show when I first started, but I powered through. And
I think Sam did a great job this weekend.
Oh, look at that. Such praise.
Oh, yeah, you were at the show. What did you think of that? Did you stick around afterward? No, you weren't there, but...
I wasn't there for the firefight. No.
There was a ruckus. The R-Bar likes to quote Wu-Tang Clan. What? I'm talking about the R-Bar and I forget how to speak English like I did on stage. I don't even know what I was going to say.
Promotion through violence.
Oh, yeah. We bring the mother effing ruckus.
To the R-Bar every day.
Yeah. I probably could have actually said that since it's a Wu-Tang quote, but I'm not going to because I'm a good boy.
And, look at you. You're so grown up.
Yeah, so when are you got more Preludes coming out? When are the full episodes gonna start dropping?
Well, Homeland's doing a really good job. They got Ian Esty filming and James Ovey directing, and I just finished the 4th of 6 scripts, and we're taking our time and making this the best thing possible. So I'm pretty sure it's gonna go on SwearNet, which is a Trailer Park Boys network.
Nice.
Are you going to have all the episodes in the can before you release them, or is it going to be an as-you-go kind of thing?
I think what we're going to do is finish them all, and then we're going to release the first one on Welfare Day.
That's appropriate. Yeah, I think it's, rather than as-you-go, like, if you think of something in episode 6 that doesn't really make sense with something that happened in episode 1, you still got time to kind of fix it, at least if the scripts are written. So I think that's good, and I look forward to seeing that and being a part of it.
And I'm glad you're a part of it, and I should probably let you go so you can wrap up.
All right, well, let's, what are we going to do? Let's, I'm going to play, all right, well, I'm going to hang up on Matt. Thank you
for calling.
Bye-bye.
Do you have any other, anyway, we kind of got around to the leveling up. So I guess just do as many shows as you can. Once I'm confident that you can be confident doing a solid 15-minute set, then I'll put you up at O'Leary's. And for sure, like, by the time that you get to that point that you do that, once you've done them, like, there's also the half-hour spot at O'Leary's that I've done it more than anybody, but I like to mix it up for the sake of the audience. But again, that was kind of a selfish thing for myself. There part of the reason with the O'Leary show is there's just nothing in between doing like a 7 to 10 open mic and someday being a headliner. So it gives myself and everybody else an opportunity to stretch and do a 15 minute, which is the first show where I've ever gotten to do two jokes in a row.
Two whole jokes from
had
John.
Had to figure out how what to a do treat. A transition. So 15 and
you don't need to do a transition in comedy. Say so anyway, there you go.
Yeah.
What else? That's a transition.
Yeah. What else is funny?
Yeah,
look at the notes.
Yeah. So what else did I?
That's a classic one. And then once. Same thing, once you've gotten a few 15-minute sets under your belt, then try half hour. There isn't really any set way. Like Shane Ogden, you can get on those shows. Like I said, get in touch with Julie Thompson. Yuck Yucks might be an option. That's yet to be seen. They're still new, and it's a business, and they're booking the safe bets for now. But I think it will open up. I heard a rumor today that gives me pause, but I'm not going to get into it because I don't know how true it is. I'll tell you off air. But
well, you can't do that to the listener.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to leave them in suspense.
Yeah, how much time do we got left?
6 minutes.
6 minutes. I wanted to hear about the Arbar Ruckus if anybody could call in. Can somebody sum it up in 2 minutes?
Well, what I heard, two girls got into a fight, bartender got smashed in the face with a bottle. That's the extent of my knowledge. And we had left before that.
I want to hear what the fight's about. That's usually the entertaining part of these stories.
My guess is nothing.
Yeah, no, it's always something just ridiculous, and you're like, why did that happen?
Yeah, there was.
But it's funny.
There was one that happened like between a couple of guys after a show once, and then there was the infamous OD in the bathroom incident.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, when the fire truck drove behind you during your set, I was like, oh man. Sam's going to have a story, but it just kept going to the start of the
shoot.
Hour.
Well, I don't have the same story.
Yeah.
I'll get a different story.
Well, a fire in the bar would be a different story than the over...
It's true.
Not to give anybody any ideas.
Boys, I need to make this next set memorable. If you guys could come to the next No Jokes Bar, start a small fire.
We don't need the city to be literally on fire.
I do.
All right. Well, this has been a parody. A scene that we've been acting out. We are not condoning arson. I'm not. Maybe Sam is, but...
I'm indifferent.
Counterpoint, fire is bad. We're just having a discussion.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point.
Doing the Wilser's Room show. You said you didn't have a good time at that Bathurst show. What was your experience there?
I had to open for people who don't speak English primarily, or at least a lot of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get the warmest response right off the bat, and then it just went off the rails, and I started speeding up. And
yeah, I get to do that too when I get nervous. I just start plowing through it.
Yeah, that's exactly what
it
was.
I did that show once, and I had a good time. There was a good audience, and I did my penis jokes, and they seemed to be into it. The person that closed out the show, I think they did. I don't know if they did 20 minutes or a half hour. I think that was the first time they were doing a set in English, which was like, I'm very impressed by that. Like I took French immersion. I'm very rusty, but I feel like even if I sat down and I could translate the meaning, but
yeah, so many jokes just wouldn't cross over.
Yeah.
Like Marty D and Eric Chasson both do it and do it really well. And it's just incredible. Like I have no idea. I can't even speak a second language, let alone write something good in a second language.
Yeah, well, especially, like, there's writing is so much about the right word. Yeah. Like, because there's all kinds of different words that you can say to have the same meaning, but I don't know. If it's not your first language, I don't know. I feel like something's lost in translation. I wish I could hear a French Mardi Gras Eric Chasson set, and I'm a little rusty. I could probably follow it a little bit, but I wish I could...
If I had it written down, I could probably figure it
out. Yeah, oh, for sure. But yeah, then you lose something in the performance, too, so I don't know.
What you should do is check those two guys up in Bathurst. They're always there.
Yeah, it's on a... I think they have a show every Wednesday. It's just once a month where it's English, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe with my prescribed time off, I might make it back up again. It's kind of rough to...
we should go together.
On a school night on a Wednesday, 4 hours away is a bit of a tall order. But yeah, I'll find out when the
You're
next
on stress
one
leave. I'm on vacation. I think we should go on tour right now. This seems like the perfect way to fix your stress issues.
Yeah. Well, Nate Dimitrov and Marty D, let me know when the next English one is. And if it's sometime between now and March 13th, then I might be up for that.
Just quit your job.
Well, I would, but I can't get EI if I quit, so I don't want to be homeless, so that's how that goes. I just played Run the Jewels last week, but I'm going to play it again because I'm going to see them on Wednesday.
So exciting.
Join the No Jokes Bard group on Facebook for the show updates, johnforward.com for all my stuff. If you have anything you want to plug, find you on Facebook, whatever.
No,
Twitter,
I mean, I'm on Twitter. I'm Slademan, at Slademan. I got a show, I think. I have a show in Bathurst next month, so I don't know who the hell would be listening to this in Bathurst, but
all right,
check it out.
All right, and I probably should have asked her name, but we have a live show, if you're listening live, coming on after this instead of something canned. Listen to it. I don't know what it is, but... I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Actually, I've only got 1 minute. I don't want to disrespect Run the Jewels, so I'm just going to play the instrumental of the intro song and let this fine person come in and get started, and she can fade this out whenever she wants to. That's it. St. John Forward Radio.
Thanks, John.
Good night. Let's turn it up.